is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 276. Things that whir and buzz and burr. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Bro, gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to our nerdtastic episode of our podcast. Meaning, it's CES time, people.
101101101110.
Yes, water, Helen. Water. Wait, what?
I have no idea where you went with
Didn't
that.
You see that episode of Family Guy where they're, like, doing the whole binary thing? And it was, like, the miracle worker in binary. And
no.
So they were teaching Helen Keller how to say water in binary.
No.
And so she repeated that back. She's like, yes, water, Helen, water.
I did not see that episode.
Oh, that was funny. It's good stuff. You know, I mean, but I like Family Guy.
I like Family Guy.
But you know what I like a little bit more than Family Guy?
You?
Well, yeah. Hey, you gotta love yourself before you can love anybody else.
How about pudding?
Pudding's high up on the list. Well, are we talking chocolate pudding or vanilla pudding?
Chocolate pudding.
Mm. Actually, I'm kind of more of a vanilla pudding kind of
barf.
Not tapioca, vanilla.
Oh, my...
I fucking hate tapioca. But what I love more than all that stuff is gadgets and gizmos and games. Oh, my! And this week, we get to do all of that stuff.
Yay.
Why aren't you more excited? What kind of nerd are you? Really? Do I have to get out the infographic? Do we have to run through this chart again?
I think so. It's, honestly, I feel like my nerddom is like a game of Plinko. I put a chip in, and it goes down a whole ziggity-zaggity thing until
then
it
then today it's like, comic book nerd! Woo!
Exactly. My nerddom is a Plinko game.
Alright, well, I mean, I can accept that.
Nerd Plinko. Geek Glinko. Glinko.
Glinko. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, there's that.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoy a gadget in a game very much.
What about gizmos?
Things that buzz and throb and whir and burr.
Yeah.
Some of them burr.
Some of them burr. But if they burr, you better, you know, get them checked out. Yeah.
I like them.
Right.
I enjoy them, especially right. When they work.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. When they work, they're like the shit.
It's good stuff.
And then when they don't work, I'm like, I have to read the instructions.
Brr, sauce!
But then I read the instructions. I'm like, oh, now it does work. Yay! And then I'm happy again.
You know, 90% of the time, RTFM is really the cause of so many electronic breakdowns. It's sadness. But not this episode, because we are gearing up for our CES coverage. Oh, yes. Vegas. Gadgets. Gizmos. I mean, seriously.
I read my manual.
Yeah, I know how to operate in Vegas. It requires...
My OS is updated.
Aw.
I finally did the system update.
You did all your system updates.
Yep, and I did my permissions repairs and all of that.
And you brought all of your extra batteries.
I defragged myself.
You defragged your drive. You have all your externals. You are ready to go.
Yes, I am. And I have my solar power panel just in case.
Just in case, because, you know...
Sometimes you should go green.
You should go green. Greenish.
Yeah, that's what the one panel is for.
Green...
I'm not a hippie fuck with, like, 18 billion of them, but I have, like, one to appreciate, you know, going green and healthier.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, sometimes your batteries are going to run out. You're not going to get to a charging station, because you're not going to be the only geek in town. But there will be sun, so, you know, in an emergency...
We're the nicest geeks in town... Actually, most geeks are really friendly. I've yet to meet a geek who was mean.
There are some douchebag geeks.
I haven't met one yet.
You're really lucky.
And if you exist, I don't want to meet you.
She doesn't. But we have all kinds of neat stuff to talk about. Just basically the things that, one, aren't under embargo.
Yeah.
That's the first piece. Second of all, actually, we thought were pretty neat as kind of our lead-in to the show. We'll be talking about and sharing stuff throughout the entire week. as the show rolls on. Obviously, if you follow the event, you know that this is the last year that Microsoft will actually be appearing as a keynote speaker, and will have, you know, considerable booth space at the show. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see what the last hurrah of Microsoft at CES is going to be.
Hurrah!
Mostly, I think, because a lot of the bigger companies have realized that following the Apple model of announcements, which is basically, we're going to throw an announcement on our home turf when it's right for us and invite the people that we want, as opposed to trying to siren away some people from this mass sea of people that are coming in.
No more block party! Now it's personal, intimate dinners.
Yeah, and I think that you get the ability to share more. It's not as frustrating because, you know, for me, whenever I've gone to a CES, it is always exhausting. Okay, we make these really, really, or at least I do, make these really, really focused itineraries for team members of who they're going to see. You try to factor in time for travel and bio breaks and stuff like that. And then there's the, okay, but if you see anything cool in between your time or something doesn't work out,
in
make it over
time,
here.
In between, what is this concept, Ninja?
I know, really. But
I don't think I saw in between time anywhere on my itinerary for E3 last year.
Yes, I factored in lunch times and bio breaks for everyone's itinerary.
At the same time.
You
better be eating and drinking while you're taking that private time.
You're supposed to eat and then immediately pee and shit and then move on because there's stuff to do and see and talk about and write.
I'm so glad that I'm already well-trained with that. So.
Yeah, it's a really good thing, because if
but
you
I
weren't
mean,
trained, you couldn't be part of the
KBD
team.
Had a, you know, well, like, he didn't have a problem.
No, he worked in some extra stuff.
I know.
Okay, it's not my fault if you work in extra activities to your itinerary. The itinerary I prepared left breaks and time to travel between buildings. Okay, if you added in extra stuff that you wanted to go see, hey, that's not on me. That's on you. You gotta figure it out, make it work.
Make it work.
Okay, if you're making addendums to the itineraries, that's on you. But CES is always really, really frustrating because there is so fucking much to see. Okay, you're taking over the entire Las Vegas Convention Center. Not only are you taking over parts of the Venetian, okay, you've got people that are having meetings in suites in hotels up and down the fucking strip. Mandalay Bay, over at MGM, Caesars, Harrah's. It's ridiculous. Okay, it's all up and down the strip. So you have to be very selective about what you're going to see. You have to factor in enough time. And frankly, unless you've got a staff of 10 people, you're probably not going to get to everything that you really wanted to anyway. I always hate having to contact a PR person and say, hey, I'm stuck on this bus, I'm stuck on this shuttle, I'm not going to make it, we've got to reschedule, I'll get there as fast as I can, because there's just so much moving going on that you never get to see anything, and all of the vendors that are there are fighting for attention. You know, outside of the people that they specifically reached out to invite to actually come and see them at the show, it's pretty much, hey, I've got this booth space, people are walking by, hey, come see my wares, come see my wares. That's a big, massive trade show. And so it's very difficult to really get serious one-on-one time. It's noisy, it's crowded, whereas when you host your own event, it's, I know exactly the space that I have, I know exactly who I'm inviting, I know exactly who's coming, because they're going to have to travel to come and get to me, so if somebody says that they're coming, they're fucking getting on a plane and they're coming, they'll be here, and I know exactly what kind of coverage I'm going to get. That's a much more reliable, less stress, both for the person hosting the event as well as those people attending it. You know, I don't have to worry about standing room only for any event that I'm invited to by Apple. I'm going to have a seat. I don't have to rush other than to get there, you know. So I think that, and then it's also much more affordable because you're not having to buy space in somebody else's venue and, you know, afford to, you know, feed them, give them, get some celebrity to show up in hopes of attracting more people to the booth. It's just much more economically viable. So it doesn't surprise me, really, that Microsoft has gone, hey, you know what? We get more bang for our buck on the Xbox side of the world going to things like PAX and E3 and Gamescom and the event there in Cologne, Madrid that they hold, Barcelona, I'm sorry, that Microsoft, yeah, they have a press day thing that they hold in Barcelona, Spain, yeah, right after, I want to say E3 and before Gamescom. It's usually like in the September corridor.
Damn.
That they host.
So wait, it competes with Tokyo Game Show?
No, it's before TGS.
Okay.
It's weird. It's like after E3, before TGS, and before Gamescom.
That's a... Okay.
But I think it's right around PAX Prime time.
Okay.
If I remember.
But PAX Prime is like August, early September.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's in that corridor in there.
Okay.
I think that they're realizing that they get more bang for their buck, more of the coverage that they want, and really get to share and spend time by doing those events than necessarily a CES. You know, so it makes sense. You know, you look at Activision, they do, and EA, they do their media days that they invite the press that they want to come to their headquarters, show them what they want to show them, share what they want to share, and then they show up at the big game, you know, shows, E3, all that kind of stuff, and then they just move on. So it's not surprising. I think that IDG and, you know, CEA really have to look at their events and go, okay, we have to find a way to make these things more attractive for vendors to come. Otherwise, they're going to start losing more big vendors. You know, now Apple doesn't do CES. Apple doesn't even do Macworld anymore. Microsoft is now not going to do CES. So now your big vendors at CES are going to be Sony, your Samsungs, your Toshibas, your LGs, your companies that, you know, have their hands in multiple markets, TVs and entertainment and things like that, which I still think makes sense, and more than likely they will continue to have those events, but you may actually start seeing the LGs of the world, especially for LG USA, to start hosting their own events as well and start tinkering with it. So I think that it kind of, I'm not ringing the Comdex bell just yet,
right?
But I'm getting close, because, you know, most PR people and most press people, when they go out to an event like a CES, they hit it for the first couple of days, so they get all the keynotes, they get all the first day announcements, the things that were initially under embargo pop out of the embargo status, they write all that up, and they're maybe in town for 2 days, and then they bolt like cockroaches in the daytime. I think you're going to see that happen. I think this year we'll probably see a whole lot of traffic the first couple of days, especially being that, you know, it's the last time Ballmer is going to give the keynote for Microsoft. There's probably going to be a lot of people at that keynote, mostly focused on, you know, what they actually have to say in the keynote, but also, you know, how Microsoft's going to leave the relationship, because they've already said that they are actually going to pull their membership out of the CEA, which, you know, hurts the CEA a lot, because they are a massive partner for them. So I think that that's, you know, interesting to kind of start off with. I mean, you know, when you look at trade shows, a lot of times when you're big vendors, your guys that, you know, buy the biggest space, and let's face it, Microsoft pretty much bought most of the central hall space. Like, every year I went to CES, whenever I walked in the central hall, I was like, Microsoft, 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 Microsoft! And go to your left and you'll find Sony and LG and Panasonic and Samsung. But...
It's like, and they really kind of wanted you to focus on their big name.
And they had everything. They had their computer division stuff, they had their hardware stuff, they had game stuff, they had MSDN that was there, which is the dev network. So they were really representing the entirety of the brand, which, you know, requires some space when you start thinking about how deep and how big the Microsoft brand really is. But fact of the matter is, they're not going to do that next year. They're not going to be there next year. That's an entire, you know, almost hall that's going to need to be filled. And I'm not saying that it won't be filled, but I don't know if there'll be as big a draw for us to go to CES next year.
Right.
So, but that's just my rant on that.
Yeah, you had a lot to say.
Well, I mean, you know, CES is one of the events that I really enjoy going to. One, it's a week in Vegas, so...
I want to go to GDC!
Yeah, one of these years we have to go to GDC.
For the clubbing.
You can't go to GDC just because Mega64 did a video on it.
I can't.
No. You have to go to GDC with, you know, specific goals in mind. It's a dev conference. Developers mostly are there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I still want to go.
You know, the people who do the physics and shit.
I like the idea of physics. I just can't do it.
You can. can't do physics. You graduated college. You can do physics.
It's like, if I throw a pencil up, it's going to come down. That's the extent of the physics that I get.
Wow.
Or if I put something in my soda, it's going to displace its mass of liquid out of my soda. Like, if I put a pencil in
yes.
there, it will displace that much.
You are correct.
The mass of the pencil.
All right, so that's enough of Candelicious the Science Girl. Let's go back to the topic. Gadgets, gizmos, and games.
Explosions go boom.
Explosions do, in fact, go boom.
Unless they don't go right, if you don't have the right mixture, then it doesn't go boom, it just goes...
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that's a discharge. It's a bad discharge.
Yeah, because then you gotta send a robot out to actually complete the discharge, because you don't want, you know,
a human person going out and getting their arm blown off.
Yeah, yeah, or
launching. And that's why you write a note. I need to send Arrested Development. Anyway.
All right, so... Let us continue on the topic of gadgets and gizmos and games aplenty. There are a lot of things that are going to happen over this week at CES. It is kind of, you know, the kickoff for the year as far as nerdgasms go. There are going to be all kinds of gadget announcements. Just
nerdgisms everywhere.
I was trying to really stay away from that, but...
I think they need the description.
I really think they...
It's just going to be coded in jizz.
All right. Let's move on.
Stop it. It's only 101.
Will you stop it, you?
1-1.
Stop it.
Anyway.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Oh, yes, it is.
All right. It might be that kind of podcast, but we're trying to really not be that today.
No, okay? You're trying not to all be right, that
well,
today.
I'm trying not to be.
50% of this podcast is trying to be what the other 50% is not trying to be.
I'm dirty. I'm clean. I'm dirty. I'm clean.
I'm slightly dirty.
I'm naughty.
Oh my god, no. Yeah. I wasn't going there.
Yeah, you were. Not you were there. Heading in that direction.
No.
Yeah, you were. All right, so let's talk about some gadgets. Obviously, we have been inundated with emails about come see this and come see that and come see this.
Oh my god, internet rape.
It really kind
of
is.
But especially because some of them sneak in and I don't even know that they've happened. I've been roofied and then there's like 15 emails. Yeah. I'm like, where did those come from?
Monster cable. Anyway, but we've picked a couple of things that we thought were really interesting that we wanted to talk about early that we're definitely going to follow up with as the show kicks off. And we thought, you know, it might be interesting to share. So first up actually is a product that's available for purchase right now. And I love these things, just the look of them are to start with. And I hope I get a set that I can actually review, because I think it's a really interesting idea. And frankly, I am not aware of anyone that's taken this direct approach. But U-Link, which is a company that does a lot with high-quality sound.
You have a thing about sound.
I do. I'm kind of like, you know, a closet audiophile. Like, just like a little
bit. So is
Ashley. Like a lot, actually. She's getting there. I think she's
much... She's like, I love my Beats. Hear the sound. Do you hear that? I'm like, what are you listening to that apparently I'm just not hip to? She's like, oh, talk to Ninja. She'll tell you.
Yeah. Eshmom is kind of a closet audiophile. She's more closeted than I am.
She's in the box way in the back.
Yeah.
And you're like in the front of the closet.
Exactly. As soon as you open the door, I'm like, hi!
Yeah. And she's like, hello.
Yeah. I'm in here too. But U-Link actually has released a set of laptop speakers that they call U-Cubes. Their design is really fantastic. They are basically...
Very minimalistic. I like
very
that.
Minimalistic, which is, as you know, right up my alley as far as style goes when it comes to my computer setup, for sure. And what's interesting about the U-Cubes is, one, they are cube speakers, so they're, you know, nice square, rounded square, actually, cubes. Again, I like the rounded square. Surprise, surprise. But they are mounted very much like... the current Apple monitors. So they actually have a aluminum
mini stand thing.
Yeah. And I believe it's actually unibody. So it's all cut out from one single piece of aluminum. So very sturdy. So it very much matches, if you are using an Apple monitor, it matches the style of your Apple, you know, monitor. And if you're not, it's just a really good-looking speaker. But what's very interesting to me about the U-Cube speaker is that it actually is USB bus powered. So you only have a single cable coming out of the speakers to your computer to actually carry both power and sound. So it's really great to travel with a laptop because you're not having to carry a power brick plus the cable from speaker to speaker plus a cable from speaker to your computer. You're really only having to carry the cable from speaker to speaker and the cable from speaker to computer. And so that is very interesting because, one, on the travel side of the world, it cuts down on the amount of
stuff, shit you're carrying.
Yeah, that you're having to bring along with you. But they're also very mobile, so you can actually unmount the speakers from the stand. So if you don't need the stand, or you're just, you know, lacking on space in your suitcase, you can just bring the speakers and the two cables and be done with it to go along with your laptop. So
then the stands can be purely for an aesthetic value if you really want.
If you're you know, mounting it to your desktop, or like I said, if you're, you know, doing something like a Mac Mini with a display, you don't necessarily need them sitting directly on the desk. You can use them mounted on the stands.
Or if you have a really clumsy mom who likes to spill things on her desk, at least then you don't have to worry about the liquid getting to your speakers and fucking
exactly.
them up.
So you could mount them on the stand.
Ash mom.
So one, they're gorgeous looking. Two, from the specs that I saw listed on the product page, they actually should drive some really nice sound. It's not going to be rich and deep, like, say, something of a similar price point from JBL, but should be really nice, you know, fairly rich sound. And in a travel speaker, you can't ask for much more than that. And the price point's decent. It's $150. So you get a modular speaker with, you know, minimal cable, minimal design, price point, minimal footprint, and, you know, pretty decent sound. So if you travel a lot, probably going to be a pretty decent speaker to use. What I'm not sure of, and one of the reasons why I'm hoping that I can get a review unit so I could test it, because they are USB driven, if they will actually work using the camera connector kit for iPad, since it does have a USB one, to see if it actually will drive sound out that way. Because the only detriment is, if you are using them for travel, they don't have a standard headphone input, so you wouldn't be able to, for instance, use a male-to-male mini jack to connect your iPhone or iPad.
So no dance parties in the hotel with these speakers.
No dance parties in the hotel if you're only bringing an iDevice or a tablet. But if you're bringing your laptop, Dance Party USA. So you would be able to, you know, connect them and...
Do netbooks have those ports for, like, headphones and stuff? Netbooks, do we know? I've never had a netbook, so I've never looked at its inputs and outputs.
I imagine that it would. Like, I think the Kindle... I'm pretty sure the Kindle Fire does.
Okay.
Have the headphone jack, because you can do audiobooks, and so I imagine that the Kindles do as well.
Okay. Because in that case, then you could put your party mix on a netbook, since that'd be the smallest, like, thing you'd possibly bring with you to write stuff, or, like, you know, a tablet.
But yeah, if you're bringing, you know, something like a you know, a MacBook Air type netbook, then yeah, it has that port for sure. It has a USB port, so you could use it. So I'm very curious about what these cubes are going to sound like. I'm looking forward to actually hearing it and testing them, but I think that they're really, really interesting. You can go to Ultralink's website now and check them out. You can also purchase them either at Crutchfield or directly from the Apple Store right now. And I believe that they're actually going to talk a little bit about some additional colors, because they show a couple of different colors on the website right now for the U-Cubes, but they are not doing shopping directly on the website at this time. So I imagine that those colors are coming. Which, again, just on the aesthetic side of the world, could be pretty interesting. But, you know, I do travel some, and there are times when I get back to the room at night and I just want to, like, chill and turn my brain off for a little bit, and the speaker sound on my Air doesn't cut it, and the speaker sound from my iPod doesn't cut it, but I don't want to bring, you know, my iHome big clunkin' thing with me when I travel. And so I've kind of been looking for a good travel speaker that won't cost out the butthole, that won't take up, you know.
So you want to cost in the butthole? I mean, that sounds a little dirty.
That sounds a lot dirty, and really could have used you not bringing that up.
Sorry.
Bad visual. But I have been looking for something for when I'm, you know, in the room, doing some writing, kind of just, you know, chilling out, because I do my most creative stuff when I've got, you know, some good music on in the background and I can just chill and, like, have my moment. And sometimes I find, you know, because I'm rooming with people a lot of times when I'm going out to the event shows, as you well know, Panda, that I feel like a douchebag when I sit in the corner and I have on my Beats because I can't hear anything else going on, so I feel like I'm not being social.
Which is funny since we're on social media.
Exactly. And so I kind of feel like a douche off in the corner, just like, with my headphones on, rocking, and people end up talking to me and, you know, somebody has to hit me in the head with a paper airplane before I go, what?
Has that happened?
Twice.
See, I, on the other hand, don't have a problem looking like a douchebag because even though I've got music on here and I'm typing, I'm constantly not looking at what I'm writing, which is evident if you look at any of my blog posts.
Yeah, no shit!
So at least I'm visually social, which I guess kind of makes me kind of stalkery.
It makes you a lot stalkerish.
It's like, hi, yeah, I'm totally writing this post. I'm totally staring at your hot face. What? What?
Yeah, you totally...
What? Oh, hi. Hi.
Yeah, you totally weren't on home row. Everything you just wrote is in gibberish.
Yeah. Or I'm writing the things that I want to say to the person that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Like, you are so hot, want to bang. Smiley face.
Who the hell are you rooming with?
What do you mean?
I'm talking about when I'm rooming with people at a...
Oh, no, I'm talking about when I'm in, like, the media room just... I'm talking about media room. Like, hello, sister. Yeah, I'm totally paying attention to you.
Ew. This is not the incest anime.
No, I'm talking about my media room experiences.
Okay. But yeah, well, obviously these are things that you wouldn't take in the media room, but I'm talking about when I go back to the room at the end of the day.
I have no problem hooking this up in the media room. It's like, party in the media room. What, what? Press say hey.
And then we would get kicked out of the media
room. Probably.
Yeah.
So when we're on our way out from this, that will be my opus.
I see.
So on the last day, though,
I'm looking forward to testing them out because I think that they could very well be the travel speaker that I'm looking for. And, you know, frankly, you know, the setup that I have now for my main computer when I'm at home, I'm mostly working on my Air. And when I'm doing that, I'm either on my couch or I'm at my desk, and I don't have a speaker system set up on my desk. I have all my audio really set up to stream through my living room TV. I really don't have anything set up in my office for audio. And frankly, once I get my office cleaned, that's going to need to be addressed. So I would love to have, you know, a really small footprint because I have a smaller office.
And small feet.
What does that have to do with anything?
You said small footprints. That means you have small feet. That's where I went.
Oh my God. So I think that these speakers would actually suit the need, and they definitely fit the budget. So I will definitely be following up with these speakers and sharing with you what I find out about them, and if my assumptions are correct, and that they're probably a pretty good middle-of-the-way speaker, because if I look at anything above that price point, I'm going to end up really trying to put together something that is like the entertainment system, and I won't spend enough time in my office on the computer for that. But, you know,
and you'd be living off of ramen for quite some time.
I would, like serious
ramen.
I know ramen does sound good right about now, doesn't it? Anyway, so that's the first one up on my desk. What do you have, Panda?
I actually have an app that I want to talk about. So it's not necessarily a tangible gadget, but something that could enhance a gadget that you already own.
Okay.
And
gadget enhancement.
Yes, enhancement time with an attribute. Though, I mean, it does have its pros and cons, which is really the interesting feature about it.
Okay.
So we were contacted by Securaphone.
Okay.
And they're releasing an app for the iPhone and the Android iOSs,
mm-hmm.
That pretty much will allow a user to make an account with Securaphone and allows any phones that are attached to this particular account to be monitored and be able to be located. Kind of like a Find My iPhone.
Right.
But it doesn't just, you know, adhere to just your iPhone. It can go to Android phones, too.
So and you could have one account maybe be tracking six or seven phones.
Six or seven phones. And
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's what I got a little red flag flapping in the breeze in the back of my mind when I was reading about this.
Did it go, eh-oh.
Well, especially because I'm already being tracked on my phone.
Yeah. Because somebody doesn't like to answer their phone.
Sometimes I like to text. I like to go radio silence.
Yeah, well, guess what? Sometimes that's not appropriate.
I know.
Okay.
Like every day.
You know who you shouldn't have radio silence from?
My mom.
Yeah! You wanna know why?
Because if I get hurt, then she won't know.
Right. And so she wigs out. and then goes, have you heard from your sister? Have you talked to your sister? And then I gotta go out on the Twitter and go, I gotta put out an APB for Pandalicious. Anybody talk to her on Twitter or Facebook in
after,
the last hour?
After 3 p.m. today.
Could you hit her up and blow up her phone so she'll actually return her family's phone calls? Thanks! Smiley face.
Anyway. So, I mean, this...
How many times have I had to do that now?
Once. Twice.
Thank you. All right, please continue.
But anyway, so this kind of, like I said, put up that red flag because I know I have I've had issues with being monitored and tracked. Because, you know, I like to keep my shit on the DL.
Yeah, well, guess what?
Not anymore.
You know what? If you could return a phone call...
That I could continue my creep without being bothered.
Yeah, but you don't. But you don't.
I'm just kidding. There's no creeping involved. Just sometimes
right?
I don't want to talk
to you. Just disappear sometimes. You don't even leave a note.
I'm a magician. It's my disappearing.
You don't even leave a note that says, bye.
You know, I should try that. Just bye with my name underneath it.
Okay. I'm out.
Bye.
I'm in the North Shore area.
I don't go that far.
I shall return-ish around...
sometime later-ish,
before
maybe.
Before the morning
before
hours.
The wee hour of 3 a.m. No, I'm always
LOL,
in way before
smiley
that.
Face.
It's like, if you need to reach me, just track me on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I've had previous issues with this
yes,
idea.
Yes, you have.
But under the right context, I don't think I'd have an issue.
Okay.
Like small children, especially since now 8-year-olds are walking around with phones.
No, I do think that GPS stuff should be installed for
small children.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well,
if you're smart,
frankly,
if
you have a minor that has a phone, frankly, as a parent, I think you should have GPS stuff on the phone. Not because you think they're going to be up to something, but should something happen where they can't get in touch with you, I think that it would be reassuring as a parent to know that there's a tool that you could use where you could at least find out where they are or where the phone is.
So, I mean, I think that's something usable until we're able to implant GPS in our children.
RFID is going to happen.
It is.
We're going to start tapping.
I mean, there was an episode of Nip Tuck where a possessive husband put a GPS tracking device in his wife's boobie. Because she wanted to get enhanced, and he's like, well, I'll enhance you too on top of that.
Yeah, there was an episode of Don't Rape Me in the Butt where Bob Saget put in a chip in his wife, and it actually ended up killing her because she had an allergic reaction.
Yeah, that's what happened in Nip Tuck. It was messing with her silicone boobie, and then they put in that magnetic thing where you're not supposed to have metal on you at all because it can, like, rip out of you, and it nearly ripped out of this chick's boob. It was minorly intense.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch Nip Tuck.
But anyway,
GPS tracking people.
Yeah. So,
why do we always end up talking about boobs in this podcast?
Because we like them.
That's true. All right, move on.
But getting back to the point at hand. So, for something like that, for parents monitoring children, I don't have a problem with that. Especially because there are some jobs that don't allow you to check into reality life because you're on company time.
Correct.
But at the same time, bringing up the whole company aspect, in the business sense, mm-hmm. where a business might allot certain types of individuals who travel for the company to have company phones,
mm-hmm.
you know, I might have an issue with this type of program or app on a business phone. Granted, the pro on that would be it'd be a deterrent for, you know, keeping people legit and honest during company time product.
I think it just depends on how it's being used by a company because, frankly, as a company, you have the right to put, I think, tracking information on any hardware that you are providing.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose
at my last job, the computers had monitoring software that allowed the security auditing mm-hmm. aspect of the company to monitor what was the activity on given computers.
And I think that also, you know, applies for cell phones if you're using them for company use, because they're supposed to be used for company use. You know,
right.
Most people that I know that have a company phone also have a personal phone, because the company phone is just that. It belongs to the company. It should only be used for company activities, period. And you, as you, should be living on your personal phone. But the fact is, most people that I know carry both their company phone and their personal phone. So the thing that makes me, you know, very nervous about this kind of software is for when I'm off company time and I'm not using the company phone because I'm not using company business, but it's with me just in case.
Right.
I don't want to know that my boss can, you know, check at 10 o'clock at night and know that I'm out at, you know, Margaritaville.
Right. And that's where my issue would be, is if you happen to have, like, say I'm at a business and I have to go to Tokyo tomorrow. I'm out let's say I'm a bad mother-wife thing, and instead of going, home and feeding my kids and, you know, giving the business to my husband, I tell them that I've left right after work to go to Tokyo, but I go to the Hilton, order me some male whores, and eat fried chicken and drink out of the bar in the hotel.
Whores and chicken. Sounds like a good night.
I'm not gonna lie.
One, it sounds like something you do. And two, well, you know,
kind of. Whores and chicken.
Whores and chicken.
But, you know, so I've told a lie to one thing, and now I've got someone that could theoretically ping on me and break my lie and
break your life in half because your husband's like, and what the fuck?
Whores and chicken. A cheating wife with whores and chicken. Exactly.
Yeah.
But granted, I mean, from the way that the email that I got talked about is that it wouldn't even just send out an alert like via email. Like, your boss, theoretically, or whoever holds this account, could get text messages about your location. So now you could end up getting like a creepy stalker boss who's like, why the fuck is she at Titty and Waffles?
Oh, Titty
and Waffles. Wait, we're both at Titties and Waffles. Now, granted, Foursquare kind of already does that.
Yeah, but your boss would have to be your friend
on Foursquare. But this is just your boss saying, I want to know what all of my trusted cohorts, co-workers, are doing on a Saturday.
Well, then do your damn job. And if you happen to need to stop someplace that is not on the itineraries, turn the corporate phone off.
Yeah. They don't talk about exactly how these work, so I don't know if it's one of those things that could ping your phone.
If the GPS is not powered.
But how many people know how to turn off the GPS on their phone? Like, everyone's...
If you cut the power to the device, the shit don't work. If it don't has no electronics.
Oh. That's how that works.
Yeah, don't get too smart, because I'll know that you've turned your phone off, because it'll go directly to your voicemail.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. At which point, I'll start sending, you know, messages to your phone, and you keep fucking up, I can wipe your phone. I can wipe all the data off your phone.
I don't like how much power you have.
Yeah.
I don't. So, regardless.
Maybe you should just answer your fucking phone when people call you.
Answer your phone. I know that you're home. No, don't know that I'm home. I can see you. Anyway.
I know that you are in Medford, regardless, bitch.
There are two sides to every coin. So, I mean, like I said, there are some really good positives with the secure phone
Absolutely.
Thing. In the right context.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything. You know, if you use it for, you know, good, it's a powerful and positive tool.
But if you use it for nasty whores and chicken.
But if you use it for whores and chicken.
Then you should be exposed for the chicken-eating whore lover that you are.
Exactly. I mean, you had it coming.
Yeah. But anyway, I kind of want to know all that type of stuff about this. They didn't give a lot of detail in the
but we can follow up with them.
Yes, we can. So, I mean, for all the good things, yay. For the bad possible things, boo. And it really depends. It also kind of depends on your company. Like, if you're working for WeShady.com, well, then you know what? I wouldn't sign up.
You need to make some new life choices.
Yeah. I would not want a company phone from I'm Shady and Spying on You.net.
Exactly.
Because then I'd be like, shit, my boss is spying on me.
Yeah, totally. Do not it YouTube
wasn't,
during the
wasn't
day
It
was in
the handbook.
All. It was in the handbook.
That I signed.
Yep. It's pretty much in every handbook that you're going to sign now.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I'm going to look at what you do during the day,
if you're
likely.
On social media, we're going to know. We're going to look. HR's on that shit. They don't know what to do with it, but...
They're making sure that you're doing something relating to what we're paying you for.
Something! You have to do something! So, the next thing that's up on my list is actually a company that we've talked about before. I got introduced to them last year, actually, at CES time, and really love what they do, and they've got more goodness, actually, going down. So, I had talked about the House of Marley last year, and we actually, on our website, posted after the, all of the stuff that went on in Japan. I mean, they just got soft from both sides.
When it rains, it pours biochemicals.
Yeah. So we got involved with the onelove.org group through the House of Marley. To refresh your memory, the House of Marley is a company that has actually signed on to create some great sounding electronic gear, using the style and the name of Bob Marley to actually benefit a couple of the foundations that two of the Marley family children have actually created, that proceeds from the sale of all of the gear is actually donated to this foundation that helps youth in Jamaica actually get some place to go and keep them focused on something to do in hopes of keeping them out of trouble, which I think is a great idea. And so they fund after school programs and things like that focused on music as well as community things. And so, you know, on your end, you get some really great looking, really fantastic sounding audio gear, knowing that, you know, some proceeds from what you bought are helping to keep really at-risk youth from being so at risk. So it's, you know, it's a mostly me, but a little bit of somebody else type of thing, but they all look fantastic. So, we played around with some of their, earbuds, last year, before getting involved with onelove.org, which, you can still actually, donate to, the Japanese Relief Fund, through our website. But they actually have some really interesting looking gear coming out for 2012 and shared some images with us. We'll make sure to share some with you as we post our gadget gallery later on in the week. You can check them out. But I was impressed with two devices, really, which are actually out of my norm for devices. I typically focus, really, on headphones and earbuds. Every once in a while, I venture out of my comfort zone and look at speakers, but they have two devices that I'm actually really, really excited and hope that they actually have on the show floor so I can actually take like a look at them and size them up, because pictures aren't always worth 1,000 words. Sometimes pictures are only worth 750.
Right.
So the first one that they have is called the Block Party Audio System, which basically is a soundbar. It almost reminds me of, like, remember back in the day when people would walk around with ghetto blasters on their shoulders? Okay, and then you had the hood rat who didn't have the money for a ghetto blaster, so they get the dual tape cassette deck player they would put on their shoulder. It was only, like, you know, 4.5
inches high. The Casio!
You know, exactly. And they'd be like, yeah, but I got an EP on this sucker. Watch this. I'm going to hit the equalizer on it. It's going to have some fat bass. And you're like, no. No, dude, it runs on 4D batteries. It is not a ghetto blaster.
See, I used to pretend that I was that flunky, and I had my Casio keyboard that had the big speakers on the sides, and I would just put the beat on and just walk around the kitchen. Yeah! Listen to that beat. It's the only thing you can hear.
You are such an awkward black girl sometimes.
Yep. And it had a Miss Piggy bubble sticker on it.
Yep, I remember. I remember. I do.
Good times.
But the Block Party audio system actually looks fantastic. It's got a wood grain front, the House of Marley symbol on it. It is wrapped in a fabric case that zips with the pull string, so it, you know, it looks fantastic. I'm really curious to hear how it sounds, what kind of range that it actually drives. Obviously, a price point will also be really great to know.
But of course, I'm not going to tell you that right now. They got to reveal something later on this week.
But it is higher end audio, so I expect that, you know, something like the Block Party system is probably going to run someplace in the neighborhood of $150 to $200. So it's not going to be bad, but it's not going to be, like, you know, cheap.
Is it sad that when I look at that, I feel like it's the hoverboard from Back to the Future on its side?
No, that's the first impression I have. I was like, wait, a hoverboard? Oh, wait, no, it's not a hoverboard.
Well, I mean, if it's pumping out that much sound, it might be able to levitate off the ground.
Yeah, but it won't be able to levitate me off the ground. It might be able to levitate a baby.
Maybe.
Or kitten.
Kitten. Yeah, definitely probably kitten. Or a baby ducky.
Or, yeah, definitely baby duck. For sure. For sure. And then the other one, again, kind of out of my comfort zone, is,
and by by that you mean price range, right? Is that what you mean?
It might be out of my price range. Really, it's out of my need and necessity, because the person that this is a great fit for is not me. The person that the Bag of Rhythm is good for is for somebody who gets together with friends out at destinations, public destinations. Yes, the visual symbol that you just made to me is who I'm talking about. You know, people who are more apt to go camping for extended periods of time. And I don't mean in a cabin. Okay, people who are more than likely to have bonfires at the beach.
Bohemians. Hippies. People in California.
Yes. That's who this is for. Not so much me, but the product does look great. So the Bag of Rhythm is basically what it sounds. It's a big ass tote that has a gorgeous looking speaker system in it. The whole bag is filled with it. You sit your iPod in the top. It does not have a plate from the photos that I've seen and from the PR release that I've seen about it. Does not have a plate to hold an iPad. I don't know if there are connectors that you can actually mini jack an iPad to it or not. So that'll be one of the things that I look for when I actually take a closer look at the device. But it is basically the Ghetto Blaster
in a bag.
So it's a khaki bag. It's a blonde wood paneling on the top. Really gorgeous. I'm going to say, just from the size of it, probably 5.5, maybe 4. More like 4.5-inch speakers on each side driving. So definitely going to give you some really rich bass. Looks fantastic. But
and before any of you guys answer, no, it's not an actual bag. You can't put anything in it.
So Panelicious has issues with this. Because
yes, I do.
Like, I want to carry more things in the bag. I'm like, the bag is full of sound. You cannot carry anything else in the bag because it would get into the pieces and fuck up your sound. It does have a pouch on the side so that you could carry things like cables or, you know, your
ID license and money if you're out at, like, a open air bar getting drunk.
But I really wouldn't want to have my license in the bag of sound because if some douchebag rolled by me to steal this shit,
then you put a gun in the bag of sound.
If they steal the bag of sound, they now have your gun, your license, your money, and your bag
smart,
of sound.
You're smart, you register the gun so that if someone tries to pawn that shit, bam, arrested.
Gotta think. That's only if you're going to a reputable pawn shop, which you're at a pawn shop to begin with. First of all, your life choices is suspect.
If you're stealing shit, your life should be suspect. We're already dealing
with
this shit.
Let's back this up. Do not put your license and your money in the bag of sound.
If you're a woman, put it in your secret boob compartment. In your
bra.
Boob
pocket is always the best place to go, ladies.
Yep.
With your cash, your foldable money, obviously not change.
And a mini .22 caliber. .22
caliber.
Don't
put guns in your cleavage.
And if you are, make sure the safety is on.
Don't put guns in your cleavage.
We have the right to bear arms. And arm bears.
Yeah.
In this great state.
We're not arm and bears.
That's they have claws. They're already armed.
Exactly.
They're already armed.
Do not feed the bears.
Don't touch them.
Don't arm them. They should
and
not
and only you can prevent forest fires.
It's the last thing you want is Smokey the fucking fire.
You'd be like, cat, cat, motherfucker.
He's like, didn't I fucking tell you to
oh, yeah.
the fucking forest?
Yep, and then he'd pee on you for dominance. Because that's what bears do.
I don't even know why you know that.
Discovery.
All right. So anyway, House of Marley, we will definitely be checking out what they have to offer. I'm really interested. Obviously, they've got all kinds of other stuff. They've got some other portable audio systems that look like, you know, backyard patio speaker systems that you can kind of tuck away and things like that. They have updated their headphone line as well as their in-ear line across the board, both for sport as well as just kicking back, relaxing, and listening. So we'll definitely be checking out what House of Marley has to offer. Be sure to check out the photo gallery of stuff that will go up. We're going to flicker like a mofo all week long. So what do you have, Panda?
Well, we're still in the area of audio.
Audio!
But I'm going to, and I'll, actually a little bit of customization too.
Ooh!
A little bit, since we know that
you know
that
how I feel about customization.
We know how I feel about customization.
I heart them.
And this actually is news coming out from Skull Candy Land. So
Skull Candy!
So what they're showing us, or what I managed to pick out, is that they have some new lines for phone cases, and they're not just new upgradable customizable phone cases, but now they're making like sets with their already established Aviator headphone set.
Oh, okay.
So now we have 80 Aviator phone cases.
So your phone's matching your
headsets.
That's
I don't
actually
know.
Kind of nice.
It is. I mean, I you know, it's to me it feels like a matching bra and panty set.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
Every once in a while, you gotta have some killer sets. You can't
be black lace up top and white lace down the bottom.
Well, you can, if you're wearing a French maid outfit.
Well, yeah, but then you would have, you know, white trim on the black, and you'd have black trim on the white.
Maybe. It depends on how much I'm putting into the illusion. Because sometimes
you gotta would have bought the whole kit and caboodle together, because you wouldn't be a douchebag and just buy a piece at a time.
Yes, I would. I've done that. Anyway, so...
Wow! No!
So getting back to that...
Who has mishmash?
I've done it. So, I mean, and it seems like for the longest time that it looked like Skullcandy was going to do that with their aviator headphones, which came out first.
Right.
Like, you only had headphones. There was nothing matching with it. So, I mean, you had these beautiful headphones that seemed classy. Because actually, several of the sets in the aviator section look really classy.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely...
For Skullcandy's on top of that.
Yeah. It's definitely a step away from Skullcandy's more Alterna, Spencer's gift, as I would put it, kind of style. It definitely was, I think, their attempt to do something that would more than likely appeal to, you know, the over 22 set.
Yeah.
And I think that the aviator line for them is really their first, like, hit it out of the park attempt to do that, because they are a very classy line. You know, the gold accent with the nice warm
brown,
chestnut brown.
I liked that. That is combination, classy.
Which is their Rock Aware. Rock Nation set, as well as the black with the nice chrome accent. You know, they definitely feel much more like a mature adult Skullcandy headset. Plus, they are a higher quality headset from Skullcandy, so it's not their normal, you know, FYE level of...
Yeah, I got it.
You know,
I don't think we even have one of those around here anymore.
Quality, you know, it is definitely their, you know, grown folks.
Yes. Like, attempt. It's like, I'm now 31. I might not want to walk around with my lime green Skullcandies anymore.
Exactly.
But I still want to support the franchise.
I actually want to hear the bass and not, you know, tinny radio sound in my
head. I want to evolve.
I have good money. I should have good headsets.
Yeah.
That's kind of where the area, the aviator series feels like me.
So not only is the aviator set now, like I said, expanding to cases with their headsets, but the armor set is also getting
some
phone cases too. And from the look of them, like, I feel like the armor would be for people who do a lot of running.
Yeah, very athletic, running, boarding, you know.
Yeah, like they look really sophisticated, like, I'm doing grown folks business right now. But they're still rugged, durable, for the type of activities that you would most likely use your phone in this particular situation.
Right.
So, I don't know if there's already an armor set of cans, and actually in that sense, I don't even know if cans would be the best thing to do for something that's overly active. I'd want in-ears or over-the-ear.
Well, you might not necessarily want in-ears, because you wouldn't want to, you know, if you're falling, have them stripped out of your ear. Because that could be painful depending upon how they, you know, sit on your ear. Like, if you have something that wraps around your ear and you take a pull, you don't want that sucker pulling your
ear. Yeah, that's true.
So more than likely, if they do have an armor set, it's probably a set of cans, to be honest with you. Because if you have a cable that pulls that, it's going to pull the ear. It's going to pull the ear muff off. It's not going to pull anything on your head.
Hopefully.
You would hope. The cable will break before it strangled you, so you would really prefer for it to be an over-the-ear.
Well, that's why I like the clothes that allow you to run the wire through your clothes, your workout clothes. Love those, because then you have less likely a chance of getting snagged or caught.
And you can do that stuff with clothes as well, you know, like Scotty vest stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from the cases, I mean, they look really nice, and like I said, I like the idea of customization. I like the idea of complete sets of things. So this is a step up in their adult line.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, grown and sexy Skullcandy.
Like, I'm sophisticated and I can still lay the pipe.
It's like graduate school Skullcandy versus...
Yeah, undergraduate.
Well, I was going to say high school.
Prep school.
Yeah, prep school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that. Mm. And I will. That's Panda approved.
I really need to get you that stamp going.
I want a seal. I would mail so many things if I had a seal. Like, Eshmam, you want me to mail that for you? Pfft, done. It's approved. It has to happen now. The marker's been, it's been sealed. The contract has been made. I would do that. Oh my god, a wax seal? Yeah, dude. Bringing it back Victorian style. hot wax. Wait a minute. Anyway, let's Let's not go.
I was just going to let you go for a while because you seemed like you were, you know, heading down a path.
Nope, I'm done. Let's leave that alone.
That was going to end up being a really amazing podcast title. But you stopped yourself.
Yes,
so.
I did.
Well, next up for me is actually on the visual side of the world. Surprise. As you all know, I have been hoarding money.
And kittens.
No, I have not been hoarding
And ponies.
Kittens.
Every time I would say you guys are getting ponies, she's like, no, because she keeps them.
No, I'm not hoarding ponies. Do you know how expensive fucking ponies are? They're expensive.
Look,
to
they're
feed
whinnying.
And maintain. They're not whinnying. Shut up. Those are not real ponies. Those are just your imagination ponies. Anyway.
Friendship is real.
Stop it.
Bronies for life.
Oh my god. Anyway.
I'm not making fun of bronies. Please don't beat me up.
Anyway. Moving on. Actually got a heads up from AOC who does a lot with computer monitors. And they are actually going to be announcing a new 22-inch monitor, which is actually USB powered.
USB powered?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting for me to see if it's, you know, dual USB or if it's USB 3. Which,
3?
What kind of nerd are you? Yeah, USB 3. What? If it is dual USB 2 port powered, because it is a 22-inch monitor, or if it is USB 3 powered with a single port or not.
My mind is
but
blown.
What's really interesting to me is that it is a flat screen LCD, and the fact that it is, you know, USB driven completely is ridiculously interesting to me. You know, one thing that's always a pain in the behind for me as a business user in my day job is that whenever I go someplace to do a presentation, I always have to bring 3 cables and 2 different adapters because I never know what I'm walking into as far as what they have available and if I'm actually going to be able to connect. So I always have to bring a VGA cable, a DVI cable, and a HDMI cable.
But not anymore if you have this.
And then I bring adapters for all those things. But if I was going someplace that just had USB powered monitors,
then you wouldn't have to carry all that shit.
I wouldn't. I'd just be able to jack that sucker right into my USB port.
Just jack it into the USB hole, and then power. Behold, all of you.
And visual.
Behold, corn.
So I'm really excited to see the monitors in action. I want to see what their latency is. You know, because this would probably also really be beneficial for, you know, people who are doing LAN parties and who are throwing them or doing competitions to outfit the entire field with just a USB powered monitor. You wouldn't have to worry about VGA connectors and adapters and things like that. Everyone would be able to use the same standard monitor, have the same standard latency and configuration across the board, which would definitely ensure that the playing field was even. So I'm really interested to see how well they perform, what their latency is, and if they are really truly single port or dual port driven, because if they're dual port driven, you definitely want to get an external powered USB hub to really drive them, and that may affect the latency. So I really want to check these out and see. It's very interesting to me to see, you know, as we've been running through emails, just how much is really coming down to the fewest wires possible, if not completely wireless. And a lot of automation and data living in the cloud seems to be an overall theme for CES. And I'm really excited to, you know, see how that all comes together because I am looking to upgrade my office probably within the next year. And I really do want to get down to, you know, a really nice single monitor. I have been looking at a monitor that I would be able to actually mount to the wall and move to a Mac Mini that I would actually be able to also mount to the wall so I could use my entire desktop as a desktop area. For my office, and so, you know, having something that would be USB powered would be great because I could just jack that right into, you know, the mini, and if I didn't go a different route with a monitor. So I'm really looking forward to this one from AOC, and it is HD, they are going to have a version that is LED backlit on the LCD, so it would be really, really thin, really, really fast, and they promise that it'll be really light. So I'm really looking forward to that. Right now, they're just releasing the 22-inch version, but they do say that it works with existing desktops and notebooks and is pretty much supported by every operating system that you need it to be. So XP, Vista, Windows 7.
Vista.
I know. and both, well, actually, I should say now, all three current-ish distros of OS X. So Tiger, Snow Leopard, and
Lion. Mecha.
Mecha.
Mecha Lion.
All right, what else do you have, Panda?
Well, I actually have something that's slightly visual. We seem to be, like, kind of working slightly in sync today.
It's like we're twinsies.
This one kind of looks like you. Anyway, that will come up later.
Yeah.
But this news is coming out from Volzix, actually, and they have been talking about plans of smart...
You mean Vuzix?
Yeah. Vuzix?
Yeah, you said Volzix.
I'm thinking Vulpix.
I know. I knew you were going to have a problem. I was like, jeez.
I shouldn't have played Pokemon before I came to do the show.
Yep.
Anyway, so they are announcing news about smart glasses. And I mean, I'm...
As opposed to dumb glasses?
As opposed to dumb glasses.
Okay.
Now, sadly, there are some people, and this is a small tangent, I'll make this really fast. There are people out there who buy really nice frames and get plastic or glass.
Yes, and they're called posers.
Yeah, you guys need to fucking stop. It's like, first you were making fun of
us. I had to wear glasses when it wasn't cool.
Yeah, I know. So, now I'm, even more uber cool because I was wearing glasses before they became popular. Kind of like
say it in your hipster scarf.
That you bought me from New York. It's not like I bought it, but I would have if I had seen it. But anyway, so
you
I was
steal that shit.
I was a hipster before it was cool.
I was a hipster before there was a word for it. Back
in
the day, it was just called nerd.
I was underground hipster.
Oh my god!
If you know what that means,
you were not. You've never
stick
been
that
underground
in your pipe
anything.
And smoke it.
You've never been underground anything.
I've been underground.
Underground what?
In caves. I've gone underground. Pirate radio. Anyway.
Oh, my
So anyway,
God.
So right. these are going to be HD glasses, designer, and even designer smart
Ooh,
glasses.
Ooh, that means they're going to be gray.
Yep.
Like carbon fiber.
Probably.
But not actually
But at the current
fiber.
At the current, the place where they are right now, they're showing an ideal for a monocle version. And then the standard full glasses version. So when I say smartphone, I'm not BSing
you.
You
mean smart glasses?
Yeah, smart, yeah. Oh, so I already spoiled it. So these smart glasses will be able to work with any smart device.
Okay.
See where I'm going there?
Yeah.
And so your TVs, your phones, your other smart devices like the iPads and stuff, tablets, mm-hmm. they will theoretically be able to work with that, which will allow you to stream that content on any of these smart devices to your eyepiece. So now you don't have to stare at a giant, huge TV. Granted, you bought it, so you should.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if, you know, you want to stream it to your glasses and not have to, you know, strain to look at this massively huge TV that you've built into your wall, you can then zip it down to your eye level. And obviously it will be smaller because it will be right to your eye. And you can have your information right there. In front of your, in front of your face, and not just in front of your face. Which I think is pretty cool.
Alright, in concept it sounds cool, but I start thinking, you know, practical applications. If I want to watch TV, I want to watch fucking TV.
What if you're making food, but you want to watch TV? If you have the monocle, it depends on what the radius of the ping between your TV and your monocle. Because I'm going to say monocle, because I wouldn't want to wear... Unless I was, watching a movie and wanted to, take a tinkle or something, but didn't want to miss it, didn't want to pause it, then I'd want full vision. But, I mean, if, say, you're reading a book. Oh, Eshmum. Let's take Eshmum.
Oh, God.
We're complaining to Eshmum that we're hungry because we're her daughters and it's her, obligation in life to feed us.
Nurture and develop.
Nurture and provide sustenance for her offspring. Eshmum doesn't want to leave her iMac.
Where I do be on that computer all the time.
Oh, bye. Anyway, so finally we decide we buy mom this smartphone monocle. And she doesn't have to leave because, say, the radius is big enough for her to be able to watch it on the monocle while she's cooking dinner.
I gave Ash Mom an Apple TV and hooked it up to her kitchen TV so she could sit in the kitchen and stream her stuff to the big
TV. Do you know how many times she forgets how to turn that shit on? Yeah, anyway.
You think she's gonna wear a...
Actually, I think it'd look cool because then she'd look like a Terminator.
She'd look like the Borg.
Yep. She would! Actually, that'd be awesome. I might need to buy into this. But anyway. So I mean, in theory, I think...
Why am I laughing like Burt Reynolds?
I don't know. But I like it in concept, just like you. And there's a lot of setbacks that I'd want to ask questions about. Like, what type of radius are we dealing with? Like, would I be able to operate within my home so I could be on my third floor and not miss a really funny line in How I Met Your Mother Season 6, which is what I'm watching right now, or, you know, Doctor Who? Because, I mean, that would be awesome for, like, a recluse. Someone who's not going to go too far away from their house, but far enough that they might not be in front of their TV. Like, they might try to do laundry because they might think about going to the Applebee's later. Oh, my God!
Applebee's?
If you're... How many recluses do you know go to fine establishments?
I'm just saying, couldn't you go to, like...
P.F. Chang's?
Yeah.
But you might be smelly. So Applebee's is already really bad smells.
There's nobody there.
I know, I'm surprised they haven't gone under. But, I mean, I think that's interesting. And I actually think this is the way that things are going to go. I mean, when we had 3D TVs, they were getting, you know, glasses that would bring the 3D to your face, and not just your face.
And I hated that.
Yes, but...
I turned the 3D feature off on my 3DS.
Then you could have just had my regular DS, which I still have.
A DSi.
So that you really didn't need your 3DS, because I use my 3D.
Yeah, but I wanted a 3DS because I wanted to test Netflix 3D movie streaming.
Anyway.
Which
so, I mean, I like the idea, not to mention I kind of want us to look like robot people in the future.
You really want us to look like the Borg?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not no judgment.
But no, so, like I said, they're showing progress in that, and they're demoing it at CES this week. I like the idea of the monocle, personally. I don't like the full glasses. But then I wonder if they made these into a glasses, would they be able to send in your prescription so that you could wear them as regular glasses, and then when you got home, turned on the smart part?
Yeah, see, that could be interesting.
Bring it all down to one pair.
If I could have my prescription in it and be able to, you know, read... my computer screen up close to my eye.
So I think if Gunner met up with this company...
Vuzix.
I keep wanting to say Vulpix.
I know. It's not a fucking Pokemon.
That turns into a Ninetales. But if they met up in the future and merged and made this like the pro gaming headset glasses thing, that'd be kind of cool. Prescription. Awesome. Techie bifocal. Yeah, I'm a fucking boss with my monocle of power on. And like, oh, and by the
right,
way,
well,
I'm and I could read the help on the other. I'd have two monocles, so they wouldn't be glasses. I'd have two monocles for each of my eyes, and one would have a book on it, and the other one would have my gaming in it. What's up?
I'm sorry, I can't join you on that. I mean, I'm so glad that you are happy, but I can fist bump it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's the most I can do. Alright, and then the last thing for me is on the style tip, and it's just because I love them. I do. I love their style. I love what they do. I can't get enough of their stuff, and I don't have enough money to buy the things I really want to from them. But Gola is going to be at CES, and they're going to be displaying their new line for 2012. That's all of their cases for every fucking device you could think of to carry that's electronic.
My blender?
I'm sure you could actually put your blender in a couple of the bags, actually. They have bags for digital cameras, both from point-and-shoots up to DSLRs, with great style. Seriously, I cannot get enough of Gola's stuff. It is really gorgeous. And I actually have a couple of their pouches to carry iPhones and money in your ID.
Gola!
I absolutely fell in love with their... Generation G series last year. I thought that they were really some...
Were they working with Gatorade?
No.
Haha, different G's.
Yeah, different G's. But basically, the Generation G series is... Okay, take the elements of Ed Hardy design that you like and strip out the douchebag stuff.
That's not a lot, but okay.
Strip out the douchey stuff.
Bye, Tiger.
Okay.
Bye, Dragon.
What you're left with is a lot of filigree. a lot of old English lettering and
Tour de fleurs,
fleur de lis.
Yeah, those things. Yeah,
yeah. Fleur de lis. What a lot of the Generation G series design was like, which I like a lot, but it was done in a minimalistic way. So it wasn't over the entirety of whatever the product was. It was focused on a specific section with a great use of texture.
Hmm, this sounds pretty similar to our website. I feel like there's some inspiration to be had.
Well, here's the thing. I would be lying if I said that Gola's design did not influence...
Didn't inspire you to create...
my own design style. Okay? I would definitely...
be lying.
Be full of...
Fibbing.
I would definitely be full of fibbing.
Full of fib right now.
I would kind of be full of fib.
Fib dealer.
I'm not even gonna lie.
Dealer.
Yeah. So I absolutely love their layout. I'm really excited to see... what the focus on design is for this year. They've kind of hinted that blue is going to be a key color across most of their products, but they do everything from MP3 and mobile audio devices to laptop bags, backpacks, sleeves, tablet covers, iPhone, Android, HTC, you name it. Gola pretty much has something to put it in. With a real sense of style. I would say that their stuff is definitely very metrosexual, so it is unisex. Mm. Although some of their stuff, the stuff that's pink, is obviously really only for those who are really strong in their manhood and confident in their
jewelry. I'm strong in my sexuality sometimes.
But I'm really looking forward to it. And they are even hinting about having some things for carrying things, specifically like earbuds, and that they actually will have some in-ears to display, so they may actually be moving into hardware stuff. I don't know if it's branded hardware stuff or not, but it'll be interesting to see. So those are kind of the key things that I'm looking for. I'm looking for gadgets really specifically to make the home office even more, I don't want to say minimal, but space optimized. I think that this is really going to be the year that you see things.
You want to feng shui your office.
Yeah, well, I think that this is going to be the year, though, just judging from a lot of the announcements that we've seen already of really going wireless, going to the cloud, being minimalist, you know, that kind of thing. You know, looking at how many devices are, you know, wireless, Bluetooth sync, bus powered, smaller, you know, in some cases being better. And in other cases, you know, go big or go home, like on the monitor side of the world. So
I'll go big.
We'll definitely be checking that out. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of partners that are going to be there. Razer is going to be there, so we'll see what they've got in store for us.
Hi,
for 2012. NVIDIA will be there, so Lord knows.
Hi, NVIDIA. What's up? Ooh, that? Mm, that's nice.
There's going to be a lot to check out. We'll do our best to cover all of it, but we'll probably be talking about things that were announced this week for months to come.
So, two sides!
That's pretty much what I've got.
Yep.
So, if you want to know more, I'm telling you the best thing to do is check us out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or the short address, which is...
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments go to mailbag@landofesh.com, and we are available on iTunes for your listening pleasure.
That's right. So make sure that you hit up the iTunes Music Store or Zune Marketplace and search for Electric Sisterhood and hit that beautiful little subscribe button. That will ensure that you will get the brand new episodes of our podcast the moment we put them out on the web. It's for your pleasure.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right. We are not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. Our new episodes go out on Mondays. You can catch a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which we highly endorse because they're like the yang to our yin. On Tuesdays, you can follow that up with a brand new episode of the Geek Agro podcast on Wednesdays, which gets your gadget geek all tweets.
They're the coleslaw to our chicken barbecue.
What is it with you and chicken today?
I'm bitches hungry.
And then for the rest of the week, we keep your nerd needs covered by everything we talk about on all of our respective websites, which you can find conveniently in one place if you like, at thelandofesh.com, or you can go to all of our respective sites individually. I highly suggest that you bookmark all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. You can also check out the things that we tweet about. If you want to check out the entire group who makes up the Land of Esh, then go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Follow those mofos like quick and in a minute. You can interact with us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/landofesh. Ask us questions. Answer some of the questions we put out there to the peoples. Yeah, I mean you. I'm talking about you. Yeah. No. You on the left. Yeah, you. You. Yeah, I know you're a fan. And...
No, your mama's a fan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, my God. We're all over the net. We're everywhere. So just, you know, throw us a ping. Comment on stuff on our page. We will answer those comments and get back to you. It's pretty cool. We're pretty awesome.
I would agree.
Yeah. So there you have it. Shit you're digging this week. Panda!
Rotating your owl. That is what I'm digging. So everyone should rotate your owl for science.
You should rotate your owl for science. This is true.
And actually, I'm also going to say I'm digging our community page on Facebook. Because I'm actually doing my job, bitches!
I know, I'm so proud of you.
Like, now just talk back to me!
Gold star for you. Well, hey, you gotta get their trust back, because you've been, like, absent. Okay? It's like, you know, your mom giving you up for an adoption and then showing up when you're 32.
Panda's just a rolling stone. I can't gather no moss.
Okay. What else?
What are you digging this week?
I am actually going to say that I am digging... What?
Nothing.
Did you actually just try to hit me to say you?
No.
I'm pretty sure that you actually just mouthed.
No.
I'm pretty sure you
did. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No. Yeah. What do you really dig this week?
Actually, this week, I'm digging vitamin water. So I have been on, you know, it's the new year. Everybody goes on a health kick, or at least
especially when your doctor pretty much tells you you have to.
Yeah. So I've been looking for, you know, soda alternatives, and I have to say I found a few flavors that I'm like, this
I fucking
is not
love
ass.
Vitamin water.
This is not ass. This is
if
actually
I was put into a
good.
Coma, I would want them so to not only put me on an IV. Drip, but also a vitamin water drip.
So I'm gonna say right now, you know, vitamin water, acai berry pomegranate mix, the triple X, I'm digging it.
Dragon fruit makes me rise to the occasion.
Well, with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here for this week.
Bye, guys.
See ya.